Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show, a program dedicated to bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you won't hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of this show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as he is commanded in Ephesians 5:11. Now here's your host, Good Fight Ministries' own Chad Davidson.
Welcome back to the Good Fight Radio Show. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. With me, as always, is the president and founder of Good Fight Ministries and pastor of Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, California, Pastor Joe Schimmel. How are we doing today?
Having a great day, brother.
All right. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And also with us is the show's producer, Tony Palacio. How are you doing today?
I am blessed in the Lord.
Well, praise the Lord. These are not my lyrics, but I am going to start this show off with a few lyrics from none other than Neil Young. And it's, hey, hey, my, my, rock and roll can never die. There's more to the picture than meets the eye. And this story comes up a little bit because Neil Young is working on getting his citizenship here in the United States. And he's going to talk about how he has moral character and he hopes that that will help him get his citizenship. But before we get to that, I wanted to bring this up, not only because of that story of him trying to get his citizenship and some of his marijuana usages.
Which is keeping him out right now.
But also because these were lyrics that I remember, not because I was into this song necessarily, but because these were lyrics that kind of started a video named They Sold Their Souls to Rock and Roll, in the sense that Joe quoted these lyrics, and what he did in that video, what eventually God would use to bring me to come to the Lord. And we actually received multiple, if you go to our YouTube channel and look at some of the videos we did this week for the podcast shows, we saw multiple people writing in that they came to the Lord through They Sold Their Souls to Rock and Roll. And I was more than encouraged through that, and that they've been using the podcast shows to help edify them. And I just been so excited. In all honesty, Joe and Tony and myself, we had a meeting this week about the Good Fight Radio Network and getting that up and launched. And one of the things that we kept talking about was how awesome it is that you guys are writing in and telling us all these praise reports. Because, guys, these are really, really encouraging to us. I'm not just giving that lip service. When I read these things, I'm texting Joe. I'm calling Joe. I'm like, bro, this is awesome. And it's not like, oh, you know, one, we'll just throw it, you know, down the Rolodex and we don't got to worry about that. No, this is something like, this is exciting. We can't believe how good God is to
God
us
is,
and that
good. Amen.
He would use all these resources in such a way to bring people to himself. So guys, please use these things. Share these podcast shows. Share They Sold Their Souls to Rock and Roll. Go. If maybe you got friends that like Beyonce, we got clips on that. Kanye West, whatever it is, we got articles on that. We've been talking about it. Stuff
Sound
like
Doctrine.
That. Sound Doctrine, exactly. People are using, and this is, I know for me personally, when I came to the Lord after watching They Sold Their Souls to Rock and Roll, and I said, hey, what church should you go to? My friend invited me, and I came here to Blessed Hope Chapel. One of the things immediately I realized, learning the Lord's Prayer that first day, apparently, I just re-listened to the first message I ever went to, and apparently, they had just finished the week before on the book of Exodus, and he began going through the Lord's Prayer, and it's something that I've written on my heart, because that was the first series that I went to as a church, and I started to realize very quickly that the church was not only simply about exposing evil, but also was about sound doctrine and about growing people in the faith. And that was something that I was built up in that way. And I pray that Good Fight Ministries, Blessed Hope Chapel, whatever we have, that you guys will have the same experience, not only salvation, but edification.
Amen.
And so I give that long caveat to say that these lyrics prove very truthful. And not in the way that he wants it to be, I'm sure, maybe whatever demon used him. But when Joe read those lyrics and said he's going to show you pretty much there is more to the picture that meets the eye, I was like, okay, let's see what happens. And it's not just my opinion. And you're going to hear from someone else who says something very similar, but I guess in a different way he posits it. Okay. And the reason being is because you're going to hear a clip from Ice Cube talking about rock and roll. Because a lot of people wondered, why is NWA, and I can't even repeat their name because of what that stands for, why is the hip hop group NWA being inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Why does that make any sense? Because the genre of rock and roll is not the genre of hip hop. It typically is, you know, very diametrically opposed almost in a lot of ways, especially to the demographics that typically listen to that. But I want to play this clip because you're going to hear exactly why NWA is in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Rock and roll is not an instrument. Rock and roll is not even a style of music. Rock and roll is a spirit. It's a spirit. It's been going since the blues, jazz, bebop, soul, R&B, rock and roll, heavy metal, punk rock, and yes, hip hop. And what connects us all is that spirit. Rock and roll is not conforming to the people who came before you, but creating your own path in music and in life. That is rock and roll, and that is us.
I find that really interesting, Joe. Not that I would ever give that a hearty amen, but I would say that a lot of what he's saying is true, but in a sad note. What do you think, Joe?
No, yeah, it's interesting too, because he talked about not conforming. The scriptures say, seek out the old ways. I mean, get back to God's word, God's truth. And we know the 1960s, when rock music became, started to get really popular, it's, real public, it was based on rebellion. So he's right, and we're talking about, secular rock music, that spirit. He says there's a spirit behind it that unites us all. I think that's really fascinating, because I think he knows what's going on, and that spirit is Lucifer. We've proven that. You just watch, they sold their souls for rock and roll, and you can't deny it. But I think it's fascinating, because he talked about this, this basically rebelling against, traditional morality and so forth. And it's interesting when you look at what, almost every album he puts out glorifies death, talks about murder. The album covers, many of them glorify murder. On almost probably 9 or 10 of his albums, he does the one eye thing where he covers one eye, or he shades one eye, which is usually associated with Crowleyism. Crowley was into doing the whole one eye in the triangle deal and so forth. And it's just interesting, because his lyrics are just absolutely, I was just looking at some of his lyrics recently, and it was hard to read. They're just so perverse and so wicked. And he glamorizes violence and crime and racism and vulgar sexism and, just death. And it's just really heartbreaking. And what's interesting too is he's led millions of young people into, breaking morality that they would have been brought up with, because of the spirit, which he claims is, part of the rap and the metal and the rock music and so forth. And he's basically, he's been dissed by a whole lot of rappers have written songs about him, because he's basically a fake gangster, he grew up right here in Woodland Hills. We're like 15 minutes from Woodland Hills. I was just there the other day, and he was two parents, not living on the streets, a college boy, and he put himself out as though advertising this thug kind of lifestyle that he was never had really been part of. Yet in the meantime, he's encouraging that with his perverse lyrics, garbage in, garbage out, and his wickedness and total racism. Refers to whites as devils often in his talks, promotes in the past big time a Nation of Islam, and so forth. Really a lot of, interesting, but stuff that's very, very deviant. So this guy understands there's a spirit of rebellion. And guess what? He didn't grow up in a gangster type lifestyle, but guess what? He was in the forefront of encouraging that lifestyle because of the spirit he was involved with. So I think it's interesting.
Yeah, I think that is really interesting. And we've actually gone over a few of the lyrics in some of NWA's songs. And it's really heartbreaking that somebody, not just somebody, millions of people sit there and listen to that junk over and over again. And sadly, the truth is, a lot of believers will turn that stuff on in their song or in their car and listen to that. And just, I just can't believe that you could listen to that, hear those lyrics, and just continue to be like, oh, now I can just go to Sunday church. I'll go to Wednesday night Bible study and everything will be fine. It's like, I don't know how you're reading your word and coming to that conclusion. But, stepping aside a little bit away from Ice Cube, I wanted to see, Joe, maybe you can go through some of Neil Young's song, because he says he's a really nice guy and he's hoping that his moral aptitude will help him get into the United States. What do you think?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. My, my, hey, hey. And then he's got the, he inverts that with hey, hey, my, my. And the first one's Out of the Blue subtitle, and the second one is Into the Black. And it's interesting. There's more to the picture than meets the eye, and so forth. And what is he talking about there? And by the way, before I was a Christian, I was heavily into music. And I mean, the main music I listened to was Zeppelin, but I only allowed a few others to even be in my music catalog because I was just a Zeppelin fanatic. But Neil Young was one of those who I allowed in. And I didn't listen to very much mellow music, but he had some mellow music that drew me. And I knew why later, you know. Anyway, I just, and then when I became a Christian, I started looking at his lyrics along with a lot of others, started exposing it. I thought, wow, he knows what's going on here, obviously. So let's look at some of his lyrics. My, my, hey, hey, rock and roll is here to stay. He says, it's better to burn out than to fade away. And what he's talking about there is burning out, meaning dying young. And a lot of rock stars die young, many of them very violent deaths. He's talking about a spirit that's contrary to the spirit of life. He's talking about a spirit of death. And that's the same spirit that we were just referring to, or Ice Cube was referring to, that spirit that's behind all this music. And this isn't just conjecture. Listen to what he says when he comments on these lyrics. Neil Young says, the rock and roll spirit is not survival. Of course, the people who play rock and roll should survive, but the essence of rock and roll spirit is, to me, he says, is that it's better to burn out really bright than to sort of decay off into infinity. Even though if you look at it in a mature way, you'll think, well, yes, you should decay off in infinity and keep going along. Rock and roll doesn't look that far ahead. Rock and roll is right now. What's happening right this second? Is it bright or is it dim because it's waiting for tomorrow? So the rock and roll spirit for Neil Young is about, you know, being a star and just burning out. And that's kind of what Satan does, by the way. Satan wanted to burn bright. He wanted to be worshipped. He wanted to be noticed above God. He never got there. But guess what? He's fallen. And when the tribulation comes, it says he knows his time is short.
Yeah, it's interesting because if you guys just Googled this story, or I'm sure Tony put the link, you'll see that Neil Young is fading away. He's rusting away. He didn't get to burn out. So even the promises that Satan seemed to have given him don't seem to be being fulfilled in his life.
That's right. And as I mentioned, yeah, Satan burns out, and it's not just burning out. It gets worse because they're thrown in the lake of fire.
Oh, yeah,
Revelation chapter 20, right? 11 through 15. In fact, in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus talks about the tares and the wheat, right? And he talks about that final judgment. And in verse 40, he says, as the weeds are pulled up, which represent the wicked, and burn in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous, now check this out, then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears to let him hear. So the first are last. The last are first. And, you know, Neil Young and no rock star shines like the sun. You know, none of them. But guess what's going to happen with all genuine believers who follow Jesus till the end? They're going to shine like the sun because they're going to reflect his glory into all eternity. So the deal is that, hey, you know, recognize that the Lord God who made us deserves all the praise. We should be worshiping him. We should be putting him first. We should be glorifying him. And if we're faithful to him, Jesus said, he that endures the end will be saved. We'll shine like the sun for all eternity. So that's really heartbreaking. But as you continue to look at these lyrics, it's better to burn out than to fade away. You know, many people understand that to be referring to early death. And in fact, Kurt Cobain, one of the top alternative rockers ever, basically in his suicide note, he actually quoted this song. And in fact, he says, I don't have passion anymore at the very end of his suicide note. I was just reading that recently. I don't have the passion anymore. And so remember, it's better to burn out than to fade away. Now, that's at the very end of his suicide note. And now he's telling, guess what? He's telling those reading the suicide note, remember, like committing suicide is basically fulfillment of what Neil Young's written. And remember this. At least that's the way he understood it. And he's glorifying that again. Keep in mind, Kurt Cobain, when he said when he first started out, he wanted to get stoned and worship Satan. He's obsessed with the founder of the Church of Satan, the author of the Satanic Bible, Anton LaVey. In fact, he tried to get Anton LaVey, tried to enlist LaVey to play cello on Nirvana's Nevermind album. He wrote lyrics like Lake of Fire. He wrote Jesus Doesn't Want Me as a Sunbeam in one song. He wrote Lake of Fire lyrics. Where do the bad folks go when they die? They don't go to heaven where the angels fly. They go to the Lake of Fire and fry. See him again till the 4th of July. Now, he just glorifies this rebellious, this wickedness. He wrote, God is gay on a church and so forth, you know, bunch of, I mean, this he has some, obviously some huge problems, but that didn't, all this didn't bring joy to Kurt Cobain. He was very, very depressed, very, very sad. And it's heartbreaking because these guys sign on the dotted line, so to speak, with Satan. They give their souls over. They surrender themselves to the willful service of Satan. And they can't have the joy of the Lord. They can't have true happiness because they're separated from God. And they get more and more alienated from God. And it's heartbreaking. Now, the next line that we'll look at is in this song is out of the blue and into the black, you know. And black is refers to darkness, you know. Yeah. And blue, you know, refers to the heavens, you know. And it's interesting. Darkness is celebrated just like light is celebrated in Christian music, and the Lord Jesus Christ was the light of the world. Satan, the prince of darkness, and the things of darkness are celebrated in the popular secular rock music. And also another line he goes on to sing, and once you're gone, you can never come back. And when you're out of the blue and into the black, you can never come back. You know, that makes me think of Lazarus, you know, and the rich man. And the rich man died, and he couldn't even get a drop of water from the other side. He wanted Lazarus to come over and dip it in his mouth, and he wanted, you know, Lazarus to rise from the dead and go and warn his brothers not to come to the place he was going. But there's no second chances. The scripture says the point of man wants to die, but after this, the judgment. Then next, he sings, the king is gone, but he's not forgotten. And that's most likely a reference to Elvis Presley, who had died just before this song came out. In 79, I believe the song came out. And Elvis Presley had died, and he burned out. He's an example of one who burned out. He was too young to die, but he was a drug overdose, and he was sitting on the pot, going to the bathroom, reading a book on psychic energy, how to channel these occult powers and so forth, and he died. And then the next line is, this is the story of a Johnny Rotten. It's better to burn out than it is to rust. And I mean, this is a song that just gets wickeder and wickeder, and it's pretty obvious what he's saying here. The Sex Pistols, they shine as far as, you know, in the punk genre. They were the top band for a while in the UK, but they were incredibly wicked. I mean, you know, Johnny Rotten would take a razor blade and just slice himself all over the place and just bleed in front of people and just scream, you know. And one of the most popular songs is Anarchy in the UK with these lyrics. Listen, I am an antichrist. I am antichrist. Don't know what I want, but I know how to get it. I want to destroy the passerby, and on and on. So this is the whole spirit behind the music that we're talking about. You know, it's kind of interesting that we're quoting. You know, you played that clip with Ice Cube talking about the spirit behind all that music, and it's interesting. The first comment I read from Neil Young is he's saying it's not the spirit of survival; it's the spirit of death, basically.
Wow.
So it's kind of crazy when you think about it. And then it's the spirit of Antichrist. You have Johnny Rotten here. Elvis Presley wanted to shine. He left. You know, he wrote a letter to his pastor after he got so deep in this rebellion against God, and he said, I'm doing everything I know I shouldn't be doing and everything else, and he's living a wicked lifestyle to the very end.
What's crazy is that it's really glorifying suicide, you know, in such a way. And the whole thing is there's more than the picture that meets the eye, because guess what? There's a spirit behind this. And you know, I probably haven't told this part. I usually don't tell this part in my testimony, but I think 3 weeks before I came to the Lord, I remember my friends and I, we would watch like weird videos. And one of them was about this fanatic for Bjork. If you guys remember her, she was like the lady who wore the giant swan at the Oscars. And this guy was like a crazy fanatic. And I remember he had his face painted, you know, and at the time I was still an atheist. And I was like, you know, just watching this video of this weirdo who's a fan. And then the guy blows his brains out in the video. Kills himself, and you watch it. It's his own selfie video of him killing himself.
Horrifying.
But as for me, I distinctly remember like the sounds. Like still, like I remember it haunting me as a non-believer, thinking to myself, "Oh my gosh! Like wow, this is like crazy." It just ended right there for that guy, and I remember in the back of my head, as at the time suppressing the truth and unrighteousness, I remember thinking to myself, "This isn't glamorous." I remember thinking like, it's probably not over for that guy. And I remember like, I don't want to think about it. And it bothered me and it stuck in me, but it was something that I believe that God used, even though it was this wicked, disgusting thing, that God still used that to put some fear in me to eventually I would come to Christ just a few weeks later after seeing that, you know. But the glorification of this, those were that same empty sound where there was nothing going around, was the same thing that Kurt Cobain, he didn't just burn up and everything was great. He blew his brains out and laid down there dead. And that's the reality. And then his spirit is going to be judged, you know. So
yeah, no doubt. You know, it's interesting too, because the Sex Pistols, they were around for just 2 years. You know, so they were that band who, and it's just months before Neil Young came out with this album, 1979, Russ Never Sleeps, with this song, Hey, My, 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 Hey, Hey. And it was just months earlier that the Sex Pistols' Sid Vicious committed suicide, you know? I'm sorry, not suicide. That Sid Vicious had a heroin overdose while he was awaiting trial for the alleged murder of his girlfriend, who was just, it was a bloody murder. He's waiting trial, and just before the trial, he OD'd on heroin. So this is beautiful. It's better to burn out than to fade away. And he's glorifying a group that was most known for a song about being Antichrist. It's definitely out of the blue and into the darkness. And it goes on to talk about how, hey, hey, my, my, rock and roll can never die. There's more to the picture than meets the eye. Hey, hey, my, my. That's the lyric I read. I quote at the beginning of one of my versions of They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. Let people know, hey, these guys know there's more to the picture than meets the eye. What's going on here? What's the bigger picture? You know, a lot of people are aware that a lot of these artists have openly talked about surrendering their souls to Satan willfully. And that many of these artists have musical, you know, are given. I mean, at the inception of what became rock and roll, long before the 60s, even long before the 50s, you know, with Jerry Lee Lewis and Little Richard and Elvis Presley, who all admitted being in touch with the spiritual realm, you know. But you can go way back even decades earlier to Robert Johnson. And Robert Johnson was the protege, you know. He's a protege of blues great Son House. And Son House, he departed for a while, came back. Sunhouse couldn't believe it because he said he just played racket. He couldn't play guitar, really. And he said, when he came back, he said he sold his soul to the devil to play like that. And of course, we show Robert Johnson in our 10-hour version. You know,
we got it on our YouTube channel, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can go to our YouTube channel. We're singing all kinds of songs about glorifying Satan and having a basic deal with him and what have you. So it is part of the big picture, you know? And the bigger picture is that Satan is a musician, you know? And that when you read the two classic passages in Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah chapter 14 about Satan, and some will say, oh, that's about the king of Tyre and the king of Babylon. No, it goes way beyond human agency. He addresses the principalities that are inspiring them and so forth. Just as when God dealt with the first human beings, Adam and Eve, he also addressed the serpent, but he addressed the entity behind the serpent. And it's the same thing when Jesus said, get behind me, Satan, to Peter. It wasn't just Peter there. It was Satan putting thoughts in Peter's mind. And we see that principle throughout scripture, but we know that he's going beyond speaking to earthly kings there because he talks about how you were in Eden, the garden of God, you know, and the precious stones were your covering and you know, and on and on and on. And he says you were created, he says, with percussion or tabrets within you. They're like percussion instruments. In Isaiah 14, he says, how are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? And he talks about how he'll be brought down to Sheol, to the pit, and his musical instruments we brought down with him. It's fascinating. Then when you go to Revelation, you see the judgment of the great whore of Babylon, which is Satan's whore church in the last days. You see that she's judged because of her sorcery and her musicians will be heard no longer in her. And it's interesting because music is a big part of the spirit of rebellion. In fact, the scriptures tell us to teach one another, right? With psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. That's why we have to be careful. You know, Tony, I've talked about it as a worship leader. Mm-hmm. Tony, it's important, as he knows, and it's his heart, is that we have biblical content, not just songs that are emotional about Jesus, but songs that actually share godly doctrine, biblical doctrine, you know, because we're called to teach each other with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Well, Satan knows how powerful a tool music is. In fact, in the Old Testament, you see the prophets prophesy with the harp over and over again. It's a way to communicate truth, but it's also a way, as Satan knows, to communicate lies. And so he uses music. So it's interesting when you go, and there's a, you know, hopefully a lot of you have been joining us on Typology Tuesday because we're having a great time to go deep into the scripture. Amen. But there's a power, there's not just types of Christ, we'll be studying other types as well. There's a lot of types of the Antichrist in the Old Testament. And one of the clearest types of the Antichrist in the Old Testament is Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. And Nebuchadnezzar actually has a dream about the coming Antichrist, which Daniel interprets, but he's also a picture of that coming Antichrist with his image, you know? And he has an image made of himself. They make an image to glorify him. It talks about how the false prophet will make an image of the beast and people will be forced to worship that image. And that image that is made of Nebuchadnezzar is associated with a bunch of sixes. the number of the Antichrist will be 666, Revelation 13, 16 through 18. Well, guess what? There's six instruments mentioned in worshiping this image. There's it's 60 cubits high. It's 6 cubits wide. There's 3 sixes right there. That's not by accident, folks. And all the people from all the nations, people, and tongues that are gathered together because they're the ruling empire at the time are called to bow down and worship this image at the direction of the music. So the music points to the worship of Nebuchadnezzar and his image. Just like today, Satan's using the same spirit that Ice Cube and Neil Young are talking about, because there's more to the picture than meets the eye, to get the masses, not just through rock music, but through rap, through metal, through so many genres, to point people, because the spirit of Antichrist, to worship and prepare the way for the ultimate Antichrist. So it's important that we need to guard our hearts, our minds. You need to make sure that you don't hear a rhythm or you don't hear a popular song that the world loves and just all of a sudden just go with it. We're supposed to test everything, hold fast that which is good. We don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Amen. And if you have children, you want to guard their hearts, their minds. We're responsible. You want to encourage them in Jesus. And it's important that we take this seriously. We recognize this is part of spiritual warfare. It's guarding your hearts, your minds, mm-hmm. guarding your children, and singing psalms and spiritual songs, and putting Jesus first, and seeking those things that are above, and not the things of this world.
Yeah, it's interesting you brought up the Sex Pistols cutting himself, because as soon as you started bringing that up, we're talking about a spirit. We're talking about a spirit that's, you know, die now, live fast, die hard, right? Or, more like die fast when you live hard. But I thought about the Gadarenes and Mark 5, yeah. 5 through 7. You know, it's constantly night and day. He was screaming among the tombs and in the mountains and gnashing himself, cutting himself.
That's right.
Digging himself with stones. But I love this, right? He's seeing Jesus from a distance. He ran up and bowed down before him and shouted with a loud voice and said, "What business do we have with each other, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God, do not torment me." So yes, these guys may have some spirit and they may have this, but
he's
they're
possessed by
bow
legion,
down.
A bunch of demons.
Yeah, thousands
guy.
Of demons,
yeah.
right?
And
guess what they
himself.
Did?
Yeah.
Bow down.
It's the spirit of death. You know, and he was cut himself. Who knows? Maybe his saying was, "Hey, it's better to burn out than to fade away." Maybe he went around saying that before he ended up in the cemetery. And we know those demons implored Jesus to cast or to not, you know, to let them go into the pigs and not torment me before their time. And as soon as they got the pigs, what did they do? They inspired those pigs to burn out rather than fade away. Had them go off a cliff and die. And that was where deviled ham came from. Well, not literally, but.
No, yeah. And when I see these things, when you see these parallels and you just see, you know, not only is God same the yesterday, today, forevermore, you know, that's the God that we serve, but also you see Satan, right? There's nothing new under the sun. And when you see these tactics over and over, what I love ultimately is just like it says here, what happened here and what it says in Philippians chapter 2 will happen. Every single knee.
I love that. Amen.
Bow.
Praise God, bro.
Every tongue will confess.
Amen.
Jesus
we need to remind everybody
Lord.
Of that because yeah. our lives are vapors. We're all going to stand before him, either in hell, heaven, or on the earth, Paul says in Philippians chapter 2.
Amen.
You've been listening to the Good Fight Radio Show brought to you by Good Fight Ministries. If you're blessed by this show and would like to partner with us, won't you consider visiting our support page at goodfight.org? Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062, or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We hope you'll tune in next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.